Okay. First of all, before we begin, I would like to dedicate this shiur, Le'ilui Nishmas Esther Tehila Bas Rav Gamliel Pinchas, who was the young daughter of a very, very close friend of mine, who unfortunately was nifteres earlier this year. I dedicate this shiur in her memory for two reasons. One, because she's on my mind. And two, because recently there was a sefer put out by Rabbi Yaakov Nathan, who used to be, I think, a Rosh Kollel in Memphis, Tennessee. He wrote a sefer called B'Seser HaMadrig on the topic of Yisurin, on the topic of suffering, and he dedicated that sefer Le'ilui Nishmasa Esther Tehila Bas Rav Gamliel Pinchas, and I learned through the sefer Le'ilui Nishmasa, and a little bit of what we're going to quote tonight is from that sefer, but more the sefer just was on my mind, and Esti was on my mind. So this year should be Le'ilui Nishmasa. I also, I say this as words of introduction because it's not really the goal of the shiur, but I think it's valuable to share my personal story with you a little bit as points of introduction, but I don't want that to distract from the real ikkar of the shiur. My first wife, my late wife, went soon after our first son was born, unfortunately was diagnosed with a brain tumor and passed away in 2018. And that experience definitely impacted me, and I would say my entire life. I think that sometimes we don't like to be defined by certain moments in our lives, but the truth is, and the reality is, which is going to be part of our conversation tonight, is there are events in our lives that do define us, and we can hide from that or we can embrace that. We can choose to, you know, kind of, I would say, move on or pretend like that wasn't a monumental moment in our lives, or we can choose, which is going to be one of our topics for tonight, to see, to view that and to use that as really a guiding point in many ways in our lives. And it certainly is a guiding point in my emuna and in my conversation in this setting of, you know, emuna. We're going to call it emuna in difficult circumstances, which is a little less catchy than the original title that we put on the Le'eliyun. But I think it is important. And I want to say one more point of introduction before I really begin, which is there's an author named David Kessler. He's an author of a monumental work in the area of grief counseling, who happened to have also lost a son at the young age of 21. And I was listening to a podcast of his once, and they asked him, you know, you deal with loss all the time, you're an expert in grief. Tell us, Mr. Kessler, what's the worst kind of loss? You know, you deal with every loss. Is it spouse? Is it child? Is it, what's the worst kind of loss? And he had such a beautiful and profound answer. He said, the worst loss is your loss. The worst loss is your loss. And his point was, and he expounded on it, is that there's absolutely no value in comparing losses. There's absolutely no value in comparing challenges. People used to say to me, you know, is it hard for you to deal with, you know, students who are upset about they didn't get into the yeshiva of their choice? No, you really dealt with, you know, like what's the connection, the two things, right? If you're dealing with a difficult circumstance in your life, it doesn't matter if that difficult circumstance seems petty to others or seems like it doesn't rank compared to the, how could I feel bad about this when my neighbor just went through that? There's no relationship between the two. Your experiences is your experiences, their experiences are their experiences. And I think it's actually important that we validate that to ourselves, and there's no need in comparative, you know, my circumstance is as difficult as his. It doesn't matter, and it's irrelevant. And the worst loss is your loss. So whatever we may be dealing with in our lives, whether it's big or small, it doesn't really matter. And honestly, what we're going to talk about tonight, in my opinion, is not unique to dealing with difficult circumstances. It's not unique to emuna only in difficult circumstances, but it very much should guide our entire lives and our entire relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu and the way we think about emuna. So I want to now begin, and I have three points that I want to make, and I hope to articulate each one clearly. They connect one into the other, but they are three distinct points. Part number one is, a few years back, actually soon after my wife had passed away, I was in a conversation with someone who was unfortunately dealing with very serious challenges of his own. I'm going to leave it vague. Perhaps someone may know who I'm talking about. Not that I think you do. But he was dealing with very legitimately difficult circumstances in his own life. And he turned to me and he said to me, "You know, Rabbi Greyjauer, I used to think that life was about happiness. I used to think everything was supposed to be happy until now, until what I'm dealing with now. And now my whole perspective on life, on God, it's all been changed. It's all been uprooted." And no one should ever judge anyone. And I'm not judging that individual, nor should you, who don't even know who I'm talking about. But it happens to me, and I didn't share this with him at the time, I feel that his personality, the way that he was responding to his own challenge, did not resonate with me at all. And it was never something that I personally struggled with, and I want to be clear why. I want to articulate two very important things about Emunah, which is my first point. Number one is, I've always found it extremely strange that when you go through suffering, when I go through suffering, I now don't believe in God. It's a very strange mind. It's a very strange thought process, in my opinion. First of all, if you believe in God, Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eibishter, whatever word you want to use, and you believe in an infinite creator who created the entire world, 7 billion people alive just right now, and an entire universe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is overseeing and taking care of, that's what we believe in Emunah, it's the Yud Gimel Karm, that's what we say. So now because my wife died, let's just walk through this thought process philosophically for a second. Because my wife died, there can't be a God, or I don't believe in that God. Now again, just like intellectually speaking, I don't mean to be it's like it doesn't make sense to me. I don't really understand it. And I'll take it a step further, and I mean this, and I only say this due to my own experiences, and I wouldn't have the audacity to say without my own experiences, but it's also like kind of arrogant, because like yesterday and the day before that, like someone else's wife died, and like tomorrow and the next day, someone else's wife is going to die. And like, did that not move me to not believe in God? Am I that selfish? Like, when that guy lost his wife, like, all right, God's okay. But like, I lost my wife, like, okay, there's no God. Like, again, just like, it never resonated with me. I'm not saying that from a place, it just doesn't resonate with me. If the question of there's suffering in the world is a question for you, that's not for this topic right now, it's a good question. If your question is, I'm suffering, there can't be a God, again, it doesn't resonate with me at all. And my first point that I want to make is, and it's a serious point, if philosophically speaking you struggle with the fact that how can there be bad in this world, that's a good question. It's a very good question. I'm not here to answer that question with you tonight. It's an excellent question. If you struggle to believe in God because you're in a difficult circumstance, whether that's now or in the future, again, just think deeply about if that makes any sense. If you did believe in God yesterday, and you don't believe in God now just because you're suffering, again, just think about that for a minute if that makes any sense. And I'll even challenge you more than that. Think about it now, because one of the points that we're going to make is a lot of the work in Emunah really needs to be done and should be done when we're not dealing with difficult circumstances. Because if we're trying to deal with it in that moment, it's not exactly the most ideal time to be working on your Emunah. That's point number one. Point number two is not in contrast to number one, but it is a very different point than point number one. Point number one is just because my Emunah wasn't shaken, and I'm talking very personally right now, and I'm talking to all of you, just because your Emunah is not shaken doesn't mean that it's not painful, and it doesn't mean that you don't feel a distance in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that moment. In fact, I would personally argue that you're actually supposed to feel that distance in relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that moment. That's actually your avodah at that time. And I want to segue into that by a story when I was a little bit younger. And I was in yeshiva, and I was going through a little bit of a difficult stage in life. I'll even share with you the difficulty. I was dating at the time, and I wish I had ended, but a girl had ended with me a long relationship. And I was down, and I was having a very hard time learning. I was really struggling at that time. And I remember coming to my Rebbe at the time, Rebbe Leo Soloveitchik, and I said to him, point blank, I said, "Rebbe, do I have lack of Emunah? Because right now, I'm really struggling. I know I'm not going to marry this girl." That was well done. It was over. I said, "But I really am struggling. I'm having struggle sitting and learning. I'm having struggle davening. I'm struggling right now. Am I lacking in Emunah? Am I not having Emunah?" And he said to me something at the time that, again, may sound super simple, but to me at that time was monumental and very profound. He said, I think Shlomo HaMelech already addressed your problem. And he said in Sefer Koheles, in the third parak, Shlomo HaMelech teaches us, L'chol zman va'is. L'chol zman va'is. For everything there is a time and a place. And I'm going to give you a few examples of what Shlomo HaMelech tells you. He doesn't leave it vague. He's very specific. There's a whole list there. Eis liv chos, eis lischok. There are times in life to cry, and there are times in life to laugh. Eis sefod, there are times to eulogize. Eis rakod, there are times to dance. Eis lehov, the eis lesno. There are times to love, and there are times to hate. And Rav Salvechik said to me at that time, again, something which may be so simple, but yet was so profound to me, he's like, this is your avoda right now. Hashem wants you to feel a range of emotions at different times. L'chol zman va'is. It's not meant to be that you feel the same way all the time, every day of the year. There's meant to be a range of emotions, and your avodas Hashem at this moment is to lean into that and to feel that. And I think I have 3 points to make. I personally feel that this point is the one that is least made. I really feel, in my own experience, this is the point that is least made, which is people are dealing with difficult situations, and they're saying things that are very strong and are very emotionally charged, and we translate that as lack of emuna, either for ourselves, which is probably more dangerous, or for other people, right? People, when they are dealing with very difficult situations, they may say things that are very strong and that are very crazy. That doesn't mean they don't believe in Hashem. I want to say that again. A person dealing with a difficult situation may say things that are very strong that doesn't believe that they don't believe in Hashem. And I want to bring you an incredible proof to this from an amazing source. An incredible proof from an amazing source. We skipped it this morning, unfortunately. But on Rosh Chodesh, we say Hallel. And Perek Kuf Tazayin of Sefer Tehillim, the first half of that parak, of that capital, we skip on Rosh Chodesh. But it's a paragraph in Hallel, Ahavti Hashem. And if you read through that paragraph and you read what the words mean and what it's actually talking about, so you'll see that the first half primarily, again, I'm not going word by word, line by line, I'll quote one specific part. The first part is basically David HaMelech being like, God, my life has been hard. God, this has been challenging. This has not been easy. The second half, which is what we said today, Ma'ashiv, is David HaMelech actually singing Hashem's praises and basically saying, again, paraphrasing, basically like, you know, I'm endlessly grateful to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you're the one who has done everything for me. And there are many prakim in Tehillim that have a similar theme, but I want to focus on one pasuk and share with you that sometimes people in difficult situations say crazy things. And there's a pasuk that, honestly, I always struggle with the pasuk. There's a pasuk at the very, very end, again, of that first half of the kapitel that we don't say on Rosh Chodesh. The pasuk is, Ani amarti b'chavzi kol adam kozev. I said in haste that every person is a liar. That's the literal translation, all of man is a lie. What exactly is that pasuk? Honestly, for many years, I struggled with what this pasuk means. And I, thanks to this sefer, actually, I want to give credit to that sefer that I quoted in the beginning. This Mar Malkin comes straight from that sefer. He quoted the Malbim on that pasuk. The Malbim is incredible. It's incredible. And I want to, if you'll indulge me, read to you the words of the Malbim on that pasuk. And this is what he says. David HaMelech was saying the following, Shema she'amarti az be'es hayeyush. What I said in that time, when I was hopeless, she'az amarti b'chipazon, I said it in haste, v'bli shivadas, without being settled, shekol ha'adam kozev. What does that mean? Dahainu she'ein mamish b'chai adam. There's no purpose in life. V'chol en yanav, and anything that goes on in man's life. Ki hevel yelech, he goes in emptiness, v'choshech shmo yechusa, and in darkness his name will be covered up. Listen carefully. Kein amarti az b'chavzi, shelo ba'seichel. I said that then, without any thinking. Va'ata is so beautiful. Va'ata, and now adaber, I want to explain to you, says David HaMelech, the omer sha'az anisi ma'od. I want you to understand that in that time I was very pained. Explains the Malbim so beautifully. Go to the pasuk right before. He'emanti ki adaber, ani anisi ma'od. Believe me, when I spoke, anisi ma'od, I was in a lot of suffering. Ani amarti b'chavzi kol adam kozev. And when I was in all that suffering, you know what I was saying? All life is purpose. There's no point in life. Let's just throw this whole thing out. This whole experiment is done. There's no point in living. That's what David HaMelech was saying. So when you hear someone say crazy things when they're dealing with suffering, seriously, if you're the one saying it or you hear someone else saying it, remember that David HaMelech said it first. David HaMelech said it first and he said it stronger. And Yamarti Bechavzi kol Adam Kozev. He said in his haste, and without his knowledge, without Yishev Adas, in that moment of hopelessness, there's no point of life. This is all stupid. This is all empty. This is all empty. There's nothing going on here. And David HaMelech said a year, two, three, whatever it took to reflect and look back. David HaMelech says, Hemanti, believe me that when I said that, ani anisi mod, I was in a lot of pain. That's what David HaMelech was saying. Trust me, I know 2 years ago you heard me talk that way, right? I'm a different person now. I'm not dealing with that pain right now. I'm not feeling the same way. And I think so often we don't give voice to this, and I say we don't give voice to this for ourselves, and we definitely don't give voice to this for other people, to say in times of pain that we're struggling, that we feel very strong feelings, that we're upset at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we feel it's hard to daven. I can tell you very, very personally. I davened for many years, my late wife, to get better, and she didn't get better. And in fact, she was declining. I'm telling you personally, whether this helps you and gives you chizuk or not, I am telling you, it hurt my tefillah a lot. It was very, very hard to get up the next day and daven again. It was very, very hard. I went through a stretch of time after my wife passed away where tefillah was extremely difficult for me. Not the typical difficult, like it's hard to focus, like not that difficult that we all struggle with on a daily basis. Like it was difficult for me. It was difficult for me to show up to davening and mean rifa'inu. It was difficult. It was difficult for me to mean the words that I was saying when I knew that I just said this for years and it wasn't answered. It was difficult. But I want you to understand the 2 points together because it's really, really important. And I'm not saying this, I'm just telling personally, I never had emunah struggles. I didn't. I never struggled with like, is there a God? Should I not be religious? You know, should I dump? I never struggled with that, not for 1 second. But I did struggle with tefillah. I did struggle on the day-to-day. And I want to give you, by way of analogy, before we move on to point number three. I find that this analogy works better with a husband and wife, but it can work just as well with a parent. So maybe you'll remember it one day from your Hashem when you're married, or for the one couple in the room, you'll appreciate it now. But there's someone that you love, really love on a deep level, and you get into a fight. Not like a fake little fight, like a real fight. You get into a real fight with your spouse. Like you're really upset at each other. You're really, really upset at each other. I say it because I do feel in my personal life, and it could be you've helped dealt with your parents, I felt a spouse fight is a different kind of fight. You're really upset at each other. You're legitimately upset at each other. There's a real fight. You could call it Hashem Shemayim if you want. There's a real issue at stake, but you're really in a fight. There's two things that you need to understand about that moment. In that moment, you may not want to look at the person that you love. You may not want to. You may not want to be in the same room as them. You may go out for a drive. You may lock yourself in your room. Right? You may, very likely, in that time, distance yourself. I don't want to be near you right now. But I promise you, if you ask that husband or wife, in that moment, do you love your spouse? Of course I love my spouse. Why are you asking that question? It's like a weird question. Dude, I would say, personally, I'm telling you, I would say that's a weird question. It's a weird question. Of course I love my spouse, but why are you asking me that? I don't know, I just see you're like, you locked yourself in your room, and like, we're in a fight. Yeah, I locked myself in a room, I'm in a fight. I don't want to talk to her right now. Like, okay, but you love her? Why are you asking me that? Of course I love her. Like, what's your question? I don't understand your question. I love her. I love her. I want to be married to her. I always want to be married to her. I love her. But why are you locking yourself in a room? Because we're in a fight. We're in a fight right now. We're not in a good mood right now. And I say this analogy carefully, but it's important. I don't say you should be in a fight with a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not what I mean. But what I do mean is you can feel distance. That's actually, I really believe that's what a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's navoda in feeling the distance. There's navoda in feeling the distance. There's navoda Hashem that comes out of that. There's growth. There's experience that comes out of that. But it shouldn't impact your emunah. That's point number one. Emunah is there's an infinite God who runs the whole world. There's an infinite God who's caring about the whole universe, not just little you. That infinite God still exists whether you're suffering or not. You can feel distance in that moment. That's okay. That's point number one and point number two. I want to transition into point number three. And I believe out of everything that I'm going to share, this is the biggest avoda that you can work on today. Maybe you already worked on this and you'll continue to work on it. It's not something that you work on one day and it's over. You should continue to work on it your whole life. But to me, it's actually the most important point to really getting through difficult situations and maintaining emunah. Each and every one of us must believe that we have a purpose in this world and we have a mission why we're here. We must believe that. We must believe it deeply. We must wake up in the morning on a daily basis and feel I am here for a reason. I am here to accomplish. I am here to do something. There is a reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know that reason, because honestly, I wouldn't have created me. I wouldn't have created me. Maybe I would have created some of you, most of you, almost all of you. No, I would have created all of you. I wouldn't have created me. I don't know why God created me. I have no clue why Hashem put me in this world. But I know that Hashem wanted me in this world, otherwise he wouldn't have created me. And I have a mission, and I have something to fulfill. I have something that I need to accomplish. I know that. And every single person in this room should wake up every single day, say, Modani, Rabba Munasecha, great is your faith, Hashem, in us, and I have a reason why I am in this world. That means, I'm going to say it on the non-difficult, that means there's a reason why you're in the chabura that you're in this summer, or if you're a madrich, why you have those kids in your chabura. There's a reason why you're in the dorm room that you're in this summer. There's a reason why you're on NCSY Kolo this summer. There's a reason why you went on that tuyul yesterday and not the other tuyul yesterday. There's a reason why right now in the Chadar Ochel, sitting next to me, is this boy who I never met, who lives in Atlanta, and I don't even know his name. There's a reason for every single thing that's happening in your life. And the more we believe that, and the more we inculcate that into every single thing that we do, the more it's going to make these difficult circumstances not easier. We're not forgetting point number two. They're still really, really hard. But it's going to help us contextualize it. And I don't mean it, and I advise everyone in this room, never, please, ever say to someone who's going through a difficult circumstance, everything happens for a reason. Please, erase that from your lexicon. Never say that to somebody else. However, you should definitely say it to yourself. Let me say that. Never say it to anyone else, but you should definitely say it to yourself. We're not here to preach to other people everything happens for a reason. People have to internalize that themselves. But for ourselves, everything does happen for a reason. There's a reason why we're all in this room right together right now. There's a reason why everything happens. And we have to believe that and believe it deeply. We have to believe it every single day of our lives, not when we're in good times or we're in bad times. Everything that happens is for a reason. And I think more than anything, that really is, to me, the guiding force of getting through difficult situations. Not because in that moment it's any easier. Let's remember point number two. It's really hard. Whatever you're dealing with, whether you're dealing with something right now, whether you've dealt with things in the past, whether whether unfortunately you're going to deal with things in the future, but the reality of life is we all deal with difficult things. We're here in this world. We're here in this world that Kadosh Baruch Hu, I don't believe, wants any of us to have everything easy. I don't believe that. It's actually not our topic tonight. It's a tangent right now. I believe it's one of the biggest mistakes of our generation in parenting, which is that we try and make every single thing easy for our children, which sets them up for terrible failure as they get older, because they realize that life actually isn't always easy, and your parent can't always call the teacher to get you a 95 instead of the 63 that you actually deserve, and you can't always be put on the basketball team because your parent begged the coach, even though you're not really that good at basketball, and you can't always... Right? Seriously, I mean that seriously. It's not good. It's actually bad. It's okay. It's okay not to be a great basketball player. Work harder, make the team next year. It's okay that you got a 63 on this test or this class. Work harder, struggle, go through it, and get better, right? But it's the biggest mistake that we make, right? When we think everything's supposed to be easy and happiest and glorious all the time, it's really a mistake. It's not true. There are things that are hard, there are things that we're going to struggle with, and we should face that now, right, and realize, and as parents, and as educators, right, it's our job not to make everything so easy all the time, again, because there's work, and that's what's meaningful in life, and that's what's valuable, and that's what builds us with the proper security, honestly, and also the self-esteem and the confidence to deal with difficult circumstances. There was an incredible book, it's not a Torah book, but there was an incredible book called The Unwinding of the Miracle. The Unwinding of the Miracle by Julie Yip Williams. Julie Yip Williams was a young woman who was diagnosed with cancer. I'm just going to read to you her bio from a website. Julie was born blind in Vietnam. She narrowly escaped euthanasia at the hands of her grandmother, fled political upheaval with her family to Hong Kong, and then came to America where a surgeon gave her partial sight. Working to create a happy ending, she became a Harvard-educated lawyer, married a wonderful man, and had two little girls. And then at the age of 37, she was diagnosed with terminal metastatic colon cancer. So at 37 years old, this woman who was born blind in Vietnam made her way to America, made her way to Harvard, got married, had two little girls, and unfortunately was diagnosed with terminal cancer. She knew there's a lot of different forms of cancer, a lot of different forms of illness, and unfortunately, she knew there was no cure. She knew there was no hope. And she did something pretty miraculous, pretty amazing. She wrote a book in her last, I believe it was 2 years of her life. She knew she was dying. She wrote this book called The Unwinding of the Miracle, meaning her life already was a miracle, and it was the unwinding of this miracle. In that book, if you want to read the whole book, I wouldn't even say I suggest reading the whole book. If you want to read the whole book, it's definitely a very intense book, so I don't want to say I recommend it. But what I will recommend is in that book, there is a letter that she wrote to her two young daughters, who I believe were like 5 and 4 at the time, very, very young girls. She wrote a letter to them. That letter you can find online. It's one chapter of the book, but you can find the letter alone online if you want. Afterwards, I'm happy to send a link to anybody. But I've read that letter countless times. I get chizik every single time I read it, including 2 nights ago in preparing for this shiur. It's an amazing letter. And I want to read to you a part of that letter because it really brings home in many ways all 3 points, but certainly these last 2 points. And she writes the following to her two little girls. My sweet babies, I do not have the answer to the question of why. A little emotional. At least not now and not in this life, but I do know there is incredible value in pain and suffering. If you allow yourself to experience it, to cry, to feel sorrow and grief, to hurt, walk through the fire and you will emerge on the other end, whole and stronger. I promise. You will ultimately find truth and beauty and wisdom and peace. You will understand that nothing lasts forever, not pain or joy. You will understand that joy cannot exist without sadness. Relief cannot exist without pain. Compassion cannot exist without cruelty. Courage cannot exist without fear. Hope cannot exist without despair. Wisdom cannot exist without suffering. Gratitude cannot exist without deprivation. Paradoxes abound in this life. Living is an exercise in navigating with them. And she continues, many may disagree, but I have always believed, always, even when I was a precocious little girl crying alone in my bed, that our purpose in this life is to experience everything we possibly can, to understand as much of the human condition as we can squeeze into one lifetime, however long or short that may be. We are here to feel the complex range of emotions that come with being human, and from those experiences, our souls expand and grow and learn and change, and we understand a little more about what it really means to be human. I call it the evolution of the soul. I read a nice chunk of the letter, but the letter's longer. I recommend you read it. But her point is so profound and so deep and so powerful. Her point is we can hide from pain and suffering. We can try and hide from it. We can try and pretend it doesn't exist. Or, and again, I use these words carefully, and I say it personally, and I don't give it as muster. I just say it personally. Or we can find a way to embrace it. We can find a way to find the value in it, to find the purpose in it, and to believe wholeheartedly that there's a reason why we are experiencing it. There can't be, if we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we believe in an infinite God, and we believe in Hashem, it can't be that He creates that suffering for no reason and no purpose. It can't be that He wants us to deal with these difficult circumstances for no reason. There's a purpose to it. There's a value to it, and it's part of my mission, whatever reason. And these girls, and she talks about it more in this letter, she says, for whatever reason, and I can't explain to you why, your mission is to grow up as the two young girls who don't have a mother. That's your mission. I don't know why. I can't explain it to you. I can't give you the reasons for it. But I'm telling you that's clearly your mission because I'm not going to be here, she says, and you're going to grow up without me. That's your mission. I can't explain to you why, and I can't explain to you why my mission was the way that it's gone. I can't explain why my mission was for my wife to pass away, to get remarried to a different woman, and to have a nice large family together. And I don't know why. I don't know. I can't explain to you why that's part of my mission. What I can tell you is that I believe deeply that it's all part of my mission. I can tell you that I believe deeply that despite the pain and the suffering, and I would not wish it on anyone, nor would I wish to relive it again ever, 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 or wish anyone to feel the pain that I felt, but I do believe it's part of my mission. I do believe that when I get a phone call from someone who's dealing with a difficult situation and I'm able to connect to them and feel what they're feeling and really feel it, I do get a nechama in that. I get a nechama in the sense that I really understand what you're feeling. I understand the pain that you're going through. There's something about talking to somebody else who's dealt with a very difficult situation that they cut through everything else that nobody else understands. They do. It's the truth. You know when you talk to someone. I spent a lot of time talking to Dr. Norman Blumenthal, who you may know his name. He works for OHEL. He's an expert in grief. And he told me of an encounter that he once had with the head of OHEL. I believe his name is David Mandel. David Mandel lost a parent at a young age. And Dr. Blumenthal, this David Mandel, and a third person were sitting in a meeting together. And out of nowhere, in the middle of this meeting, David Mandel turns to the other guy and he says, "You lost a parent when you were young, didn't you?" And he's like, "I did." And they connected over that. And Dr. Blumenthal said afterwards, like, how did you know that? And he's like, I could sense it. I could sense that we went through something similar. And this is going 30, 40 years later. He said, I could sense there was something that connected us. And there's some truth to that. There's truth to the fact that you have a connection, a deeper connection with some people. You're able to provide a certain comfort. But whatever it is, whatever we've dealt with, it could be that there's people in this room. And again, I hesitantly give examples, but I think it just brings home the point. It could be there's people in this room whose parents are divorced. And you have an understanding of that. And for yourself, you should understand why that's part of your mission. And you know what? You can help others. Maybe now, maybe in 5 years, or maybe in 10 years from now, who have also had parents or divorced. Maybe there's someone in this room who didn't get into the high school of their choice. And that was really, really hard for them. And that's okay. The worst loss is your loss. That's okay that was really, really hard for you. And that didn't feel good. And you were really upset about it. And you know what? That's part of your mission. And maybe there's a kid here in NC Soicola who went through the same experience. Or maybe there's a kid that you're going to meet in a year or two from now. And he had that same experience. And you can show him what you learned from that experience and how what a bracha it was that you didn't get into that high school that you wanted to go to, and you went to this high school. And there's examples abound and a million other ones that we can give. But whatever you've experienced is part of your mission. That I can promise you. Whatever you've experienced is part of your mission, and you need to find a way to make that part of your mission and embrace that part of your mission and not to hide from that part of your mission. There's so many times where we look to hide from parts of ourselves that are meant to be, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, why are you hiding? This is your mission. This is why you're here, right? This is why I put you here. And again, how to use it, when to use it. I'm not saying, you don't see me. I don't have a book tour, nor am I a walking person talking about all the time. Seriously, that my wife passed away and I do lectures all the time. That's not what I mean by your mission. I don't mean your mission means that now this becomes your life thing and it's the only thing you dedicate your life to. What I mean is on a day-to-day, this is part of who I am. This is a central part of who I am. And it impacts the way that I interact with people, that I experience other people's pain, the way that I understand people. It for sure impacts me. And everything that you've experienced in your life should impact you and should have that effect. So I want to just review what we spoke about. First of all, David Kessler's great line, the worst loss is your loss. So never feel that you should be comparative loss. There's no value in comparing losses, difficult circumstances, challenges. There's absolutely no value in comparing it. None. Your life is your life. Your loss is your loss. Don't sit in comparisons. But three points that, again, I want to emphasize, they're not just about emunah and difficult circumstances. I think that today they should impact the way that we live. Number one is to not be arrogant to think that your suffering is a reason not to believe in God. There's a foolishness, in my opinion, and an arrogance in that, in believing that just because I'm suffering, therefore there can't be a God. Unfortunately, there were people who suffered before you, and there's people who suffer after you. If their suffering doesn't make you not believe in God, then your suffering shouldn't make you not believe in God. If a year before you went through your difficult circumstances, you had no questions about God's existence, so your suffering or your difficult circumstance should not make you question emunah. Point number two is, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. That doesn't mean you shouldn't feel the difficulties, the pain, or even say crazy things and express difficult things in that time. And say, Ani amarti b'chavzi kol adam kozev. You have David HaMelech's Haskama. You have David HaMelech's Haskama, who recorded it to us for all time in Tanakh, to say, Ani amarti b'chavzi kol adam kozev. I said, in difficult times, yeah, kol adam kozev, this whole life is pointless, it's meaningless, it's empty. And to feel that pain, and to really address that pain, in my opinion, is not only the best, healthiest thing from a psychological standpoint, it's actually your avoda and your emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be strengthened from that. You should lean into that and feel the difficulty and the struggle. That's actually part of your emunah. That's not a contradiction to emunah. And I really, really believe, I can't emphasize enough, this nekuda, this point number two, is the one that I feel like people struggle with the most, both when they're dealing with circumstances and when they're not dealing with circumstances. There's absolutely, you shouldn't be uncomfortable if you're a friend consoling someone who's just dealt with a difficult circumstance and they're saying crazy things. Let them say crazy things. Remember, David HaMelech said crazy things. Let them say crazy things. They're not really meaning what they're saying at that time. I promise you. They don't mean what they're saying at that time. They're just venting over difficult circumstances. And point number three is that we should always feel every single day of our life that we have a mission, that we have a purpose. There's a reason why we're here. And the good things that happen to us, we shouldn't walk out depressed. The good things that happen to us are part of our mission, and the difficult things that happen to us are part of our mission. Every single thing that we face in our life, every day when we wake up in the morning, we should feel, I'm on this earth because I have a mission. That's what we should feel. And everything that happens to us, the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, is all part of that mission. And Amir Tashem, we should all feel that and embrace that, and we should all feel better. Everyone should have a great day.